Father God, I just thank you for this amazing woman. Father God, I know that she's got so much to give and share with people. I just pray, Lord, that you'll just rest in her, just give her the confidence that that'll just carry it over the way it is in her heart. And I ask you, Lord, to walk or to speak in front of her, walk before her as she speaks, and just lay it as it should be. And Father God, let everybody just know that her surname might be Rue, but she's not going to speak a ruse. It's the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The reason he's saying that is because my stage name is supposed to be True, because everything I share from my heart is true. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, James and Steve. Before I start, I just want to ask you a very important question. How many of you believe in the goodness of God? Okay, you're not many hands up here, hey? Okay, another question. How many of you believe in the goodness of God? Okay, one more question. How many of you believe in the goodness of God? Yeah, those all sound very different, but it does depend on how you ask a question, what it's actually going to mean. And the reason I'm asking you them in so many different ways is that so many Christians so easily say, so flippantly say, God is good. But when it comes down to nitty-gritty and the tough things get tough and, you know, they're battling with life and real life circumstances. They battle to live it out. People battle to live in the goodness of God. They battle to believe in the goodness of God. And I've just found that so many Christians speak about God's goodness so flippantly without thinking about what they're actually saying. And I'd like to change that saying where they say, God is good. I'd like to change it to, God is good and I believe it. So turn to your neighbor now and say, God is good and I believe it. Yeah, you know, the thing is, so many Christians, I've noticed, I'll have a chat with them, and the first 5 to 10 minutes of talking to them, I've just found that so many people don't have a revelation of the heart of God for his children. They don't have a revelation of the goodness of God, that he's a good father, he's a good God. And within the first 5 to 10 minutes, I can pick up that people haven't had a revelation. And they say things like, you know, I'd rather trust God for my sister's salvation rather than my healing. Almost as if God, you know, considers that more important. You know, rather than trust God for my healing, let me rather focus on that. And that shows that people don't have an understanding of God's heart for them. You know, people just, they really battle to believe that God is for them. They say they believe. I used to think I knew that God was good until things got so tough. And every time things got tough, I would get angry at God and I'd get frustrated. And so many people battle with this. And it's natural to get angry at your circumstances. But when you're blaming God because your circumstances are not coming right, then you don't have a revelation of the goodness of God. And, I just, you know, found that I had a conversation with a family friend recently, and she said that her husband's just found that he's got stage 4 cancer and he's really struggling. And I just said to her, I want to encourage you to speak the word of God over the situation, over his body. Speak to those cancer cells. Command them to go. Just tell those cancer cells that they don't belong in that body. See, this is a couple that are Christians. They know the Lord. They belong to the Lord. And I said, speak to that cancer and command it to go, because the power of the cross has, the price has been paid at the cross already. And she said, we don't really believe in that stuff. We don't believe in speaking to circumstances, because the truth is, God is sovereign, he's in control, and at the end of the day, his will is going to be done. And I said to her, but you know, that's actually, God is sovereign, yes, but we are called to co-labor with Christ. We are heirs of this world. We are called to call forth our breakthrough. We can't just sit there and go, oh, well, God's sovereign, he's going to do it all. And if I lose the love of my life, well, then that's God's will. And I said to her, that's not the heart of a loving father. A loving father does not bring pain and heartache. He doesn't take a loved one from us. That's not the heart of a father who loves you, a father who is for you and not against you. And I said to her, take that authority. Jesus said, greater things in this world will you do than I do, than I did. You will do greater things than I do. He said, as I am in this world, so are you. And you see, that's the thing, is that so many people don't understand that. And she walked away that day still believing the same thing. I told her what the word said from the work of the cross, what happened at the work of the cross, where Jesus said, by my stripes, you are healed. That you are healed at the cross. And I said, he's been healed at the cross. You just got to take it for yourself. Don't accept it. Don't sit back and accept this. This is not God's heart for you. He paid the price. His son paid the full price that he doesn't have to suffer through this. And you know, we all battle with the cancer thing. Let's be real, yeah. But you know what? I would rather lose someone trying than not try at all. Because Jesus paid the full price. Why must I sit back and take what the enemy is trying to take from, allow that what the enemy is trying to take from me, rather than take what Jesus paid the full price for me to have? You know, and I just felt so grieved and saddened in my spirit that day, thinking how sad it is that so many Christians just accept that. Because you see, God said to me, she doesn't have a revelation of my goodness. She doesn't understand my heart for her. She doesn't understand that I am for her and not against her. And that my son has paid the full price. She doesn't know my heart towards her. And how many people battle with that? And Jesus came to this earth and he said, I have come that the world will know the Father. Whatever I say, so my Father says. And I do whatever my Father does. You see, Jesus came to show God's heart by coming to the world and saying, this is who your Father is. And he's prepared to let me lay down my life down at that cross that you would know him, that you would know the love of the Father. So if you are battling to know the goodness of God, if you battle to conceive his heart for you and you don't see him as a father, I want to encourage you, go look at his word. What does his word say? Go look at the example Jesus was on this earth. He was nothing but loving, merciful, gracious, compassionate. He never turned anyone away. He is loving and he's waiting for you to run into his arms. And so go look. Go look at the examples in the word. Go look at the promises he's given you in his word. He's given you so many promises to stand on. And you know what? I want to say that faith is not something that you have to try and work up. Faith is something that happens to you. When you know someone's heart, you believe in them. Think of someone that you know, and you get to know that person, and you get to see their beautiful heart inside. You have faith in that person. You're going to trust in that person. You're going to depend on that person. You're going to rely on that person. And that's how it is with the Father. When you get to see his heart, and you go look in his word, he's given his word as a manual for us to get to know him. And if you don't know that God is good, go look at the promises he's given you. So, yeah. And then I just want to just say, you know, in his word, he says things like, my children, be anxious for nothing, but in everything make a request known to me, so that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. What's God saying there? Why would he put that in his word? Because he doesn't want us to live a life of fear and anxiety. And how many of us live in fear and anxiety? And we shouldn't be, because we know the heart of the Father. For any of you that had a loving father in this world as a child, if you had a loving father, you've known that you can go to him with your problems, that you don't have to be anxious. You say, Dad, I'm struggling with this area. Please help me. And Daddy will take you and he'll love you and he'll give you confidence and he'll say, come on, my girl, you can do this. Come on, my boy, don't worry. You are able. And that's the heart of the Father. He doesn't want you to be anxious for anything. He wants you to come and give your burdens to him. He wants you to run to him when you're struggling with things. So when he says, be anxious for nothing, be anxious for nothing. Come to him and make your request known to him. Then that peace that God wants us to live in will guard your heart and your mind. That's God's heart for us. He says in his word, my children will lack no good thing. My children, even in a time of famine, they will lack nothing. They will have more than enough. That's God's heart towards us. Why does he put that in his word? Because he wants us to know his heart. He wants to come and lavish us in his goodness. He wants to lavish us in abundance. That's God's heart towards us. That's the thing. I want to encourage you. If you are struggling to believe that God is for you, go and look at his word. There's so many promises there. These promises that I'm mentioning now. And if you just look on the board, In Numbers 23, verse 19 to 20, it speaks about how God never fails to act. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. He's not human that he should change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? I love that scripture. That is so beautiful because that is exactly God's heart. Yeah, it's absolutely awesome. You know, that's the thing. God wants us to know that he is never, ever going to change his mind. When he makes a promise to you, he makes a promise. In Hebrews 6, verse 13 to 18, it's another one, the certainty of God's promise. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no greater name to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. You see, that shows that God knows the desires of our heart and he wants to give us the desires of our heart. He knew the desire of Abraham and Sarah's heart. He knew that the greatest desire that they had was to have their own children. And that's God's heart. You see, he says, surely I will bless you. And it says here that he swore by no greater name than himself because he was so serious. God is so serious when he makes a promise to you that he's prepared to have people come to him and say, God, you swore by your own name. You'll see here, it says here, verse 15, it says, and thus Abraham waited patiently, obtained the promise. 16 says, for people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, I love that, the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, that by two unchangeable things it is impossible for God to lie. For we who have fled for refuge might have a strong encouragement. You see, we fled for refuge to God. And we would have a strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. So, I just want to say, it says there that, verse 16 says, for people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is the final confirmation. So basically what I'm saying is, God was so serious that he swore by his very own name, because there was no greater name to swear by. He wants people to hold him to his word. He wants us to see his heart and say, but you know what? God, you said this in your word. This is your promise to me. I'm going to take you seriously on this word. You see, God gets excited when we take him at his word and we say, wow, God, you promised me this, and I'm not going to give up until I get what you've promised me. Oh, you do get thirsty when you talk so much. So, I want to quickly share a story about a season in my life, quite a few years ago. Feels like I wasn't the same person when I talk about myself from then. But I used to struggle, obviously, with the concept of God's goodness to such a degree that whenever I got angry or things got tough, I would get so frustrated that I'd get angry at God. And, you know, I'd walk out this faith thing and I'd say, this is going to happen and I'm going to have this breakthrough and God's going to do this and that and this and that. And then I'd get so frustrated because things just weren't changing. I'd look at everybody else's life and everybody else seemed blessed and everybody else seemed to have their breakthrough and everybody else seemed to have their prayers answered and I just didn't see my breakthrough and I didn't see my breakthrough and I didn't see my breakthrough. And I get to a point where I just get angry and I'd say, that's it, God. I've had enough of this now. I cannot do this anymore. I cannot go on serving a God that doesn't seem to be there for me. I'm not going to ask you for anything ever again. It just hurts too much. And I decided, that's it. I'm not going to speak to God anymore. I'm done with this faith stuff. And for a couple of days, I'd try very hard not to speak to him. And it was really hard because I was actually so used to speaking to him about my problems. And a couple of days later, I'd come back to that point where I'd realize, now I've got no hope without God. At least with God, I had some hope. Now I've got no hope because now I don't even got him to talk to now. So then I'd come back again and say, okay, God, I humble myself. Okay, I need you. And I'd start again. But you see, the thing is, I went on and on like this for a long time. And the truth is, I realized that I didn't have a revelation of the fact that he is a loving father. He is a good God. He's not just some God out there that's waiting for me to work up my faith and declare things and earn my breakthrough. Because that's what I thought. You see, I'd heard all these faith teachings, and I get very passionate, you know. people who know me, they know I get very passionate and I take things seriously. And I would listen to these faith teachings and say, that's it. I'm going to follow those steps and I'm going to declare these things and I'm going to do this and I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock in the morning for my breakthrough and I'm going to get my breakthrough. But I didn't understand. I was trying to work my breakthrough. I was trying to work for it. And I thought that if I work hard enough and I fast hard enough and I pray hard enough and I just tell enough people, I'm going to get my breakthrough like that. But at the end of the day, I didn't know the heart of the Father. And God took me through a season where he started showing me what he says in his word. He started showing me his heart for me. He started showing me that his plans for me are to prosper me and not to harm me. He started showing me that he is for me and not against me. He started showing me that my children will lack no good thing. There were so many things he started showing me, and I started getting so excited. I started thinking, wow, I actually never knew this stuff. I mean, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I never knew this stuff. I'd been in church listening to all these teachings on, you know, in the 80s and 90s, there were a lot of faith teachings about, you know, speaking things into being. And yeah, I believe in the power of the tongue. But they never focused on the love of God. They never focused on his heart for us. They focused on all the work side of things, having to earn your breakthrough by declaring, fasting, praying, and you'll eventually get your breakthrough. And I focused on all that. And so anyway, God took me through a season where he taught me his heart towards me and showed me that he loves me and that he's intricately involved in every fine detail of my life. He knows every hair on my head. He knows every thought that I have. And towards the end of this season, the one day P and I had a bit of a big argument, and things were really tough. Things were not going well, and I started feeling discouraged again because I struggled with major depression and discouragement, and God was taking me out of this. But, you know, as when you're going through these challenges, you feel like, you know, oh gosh, I'm feeling discouraged again. You know, it takes time to come out of those things. And so I had one of those days. And I just put my head down and I just said, Father God, you've been teaching me through this season that you are good. You've been teaching me that you are for me. You've been teaching me that I can come running boldly to your throne of grace at any time in my life. So right now, Father, I made a decision over the last couple of days of thinking about all the promises you've made me. And I made a decision. I'm never going to run from you again. So right now, I'm really hopeless. And I feel so much despair, but I'm not going to run from you. I'm going to choose to run to you this time. So, Father, right now, I run into your arms of love. And I thank you that you are my safe place. I thank you that you are my refuge. You are my hiding place. And that in you I can find comfort. And I just lay there with my head in my arms like this for a moment. And next minute I heard, Mommy, Mommy, come look here. You've got to come see this. And it was my son, JD. And I looked up, because I could hear the excitement in his voice. I've got to see what this is. And I saw this brilliant, brilliant light shining underneath the door and through the side of the lounge door, because it was slightly open. So I jumped up and I opened and I went to go and look. And what I saw was the most magnificently beautiful sunset I had ever seen in my entire life. It was so breathtaking. I believe God put his manifest glory in that sunset so that he could touch me, because he knows his creation speaks to me. And I stood there and I was like, wow, that is incredible, God. And I suddenly realized, right there, I realized that if God could take so much care and time into creating such a magnificent sunset, why would he not take so much time and care to take care of me, the one who's created in his image? And I was like, why would God not take time and care to make a beauty out of my life, the one he's created in his image? If God could care for a sunset and make it so beautiful. And at that moment, my son said, turn around and have a look behind you. And I looked, and there was, once again, the most magnificently beautiful rainbow I'd ever seen. It was a full, full rainbow. And I stood there. And once again, like I said, I believe God let his manifest glory shine through that rainbow. It was right from the beginning to the end, right through a full rainbow. And I stood there and I was like, wow, God, this is incredible. And I was just taking it all in. God is really ministering to me. It was an aha moment. At that moment, I heard him in an almost audible voice. He said to me, when I make a promise, I make a promise. And it sunk deep inside my spirit. And I just knew, you know what? I never, ever, ever have to ever doubt ever again that God is going to bring those plans forward. God's going to work it out. God's got plans to prosper me and not to harm me. And I just, you know, I knew right there, God cemented something in my spirit that has sat there ever since. I've gotten frustrated in my circumstances, yes. That's natural. But I've never blamed God when my breakthrough wasn't coming. Because I suddenly got a revelation. You see, that's the thing, is that it's I've got a partner in getting my breakthrough. I'm part of that. You see, God and I work together. He's paid the price so that I could gain full access of that. So, I don't want to take too much time, but it says in his word, his word will never return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. God's word works. It is living and active. His word works. It cannot return void. You should not take the word of God lightly. I'm telling you now, it produces life. It changes atmospheres. It changes circumstances. Take God at his word. Take his word seriously and say, you know what? I am not going to let the enemy rob from me anymore. God has said that Jesus said he came to pay the price that I would live life more abundantly. And the enemy came to rob, kill, and destroy. And I'm not going to let that happen anymore. God, I'm going to stand on your word until I see it work. I'm going to declare your word until I see it work. I am not giving up until I see your word bring forth the life that it says. It's living and active. God's word cannot return void. In Psalm 1, it speaks about, I don't think I got the verse up there, but don't worry, that's fine. It says that those who meditate on God's word day and night, they will be like the trees planted by the living waters, by the river banks. They will bear fruit in every season. They will prosper in all that they do. Why? Why is that? Because when you meditate on God's word day and night, your mind is being renewed, your soul is being restored. Your soul consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. When you know that God has given you promises, your soul is in a good place. It is well with your soul. You begin to think naturally in that way that God thinks. You can't think like the world thinks anymore. You only think what God thinks. The real circumstances come up in your face, and your spirit says, no, but God's word says this. The doctor tells you you've got cancer, but your spirit says, by his stripes, I am healed. Jesus came to pay the price that I would live life more abundantly. Only the enemy came to rob, kill, and destroy. You see, you start to think naturally like that when you meditate in God's word day and night, because it starts to come forth out of your spirit and it breathes life. It brings forth life. And you cannot think anything other. You'll hear the truth, you'll hear the lie that the world has to share, but your spirit will hear the truth and your spirit will remind you what the truth is. That's why it says you will bear fruit in every season. That's why it says that you will prosper in all that you do. I know when it's well with my soul because I'm excited and I am passionate because I've been meditating on the truth. But, you know, I've been through seasons where it's not well with my soul because I've been listening to nonsense. Whether it's listening to the news or listening to people's negative talk or it's just listening to the lie of the enemy. It says in 3 John 1 verse 2, it says, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. You see, when your soul is healthy, you live healthy. You have a healthy mindset. You have a healthy body. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth flows. It flows out of your mouth. And you produce fruit. You begin to experience that in your life. You begin to live in the goodness of God. Problem is our minds get in the way. That's always our problem. This is where our battlefield is, in our minds. Matthew 16 verse 23 says, Jesus turned to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. How many of us battle with this? The New Living Translation puts it this way. I love this version as well. Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's point of view. How many of us battle with this? The real circumstance comes up in your face and you forget to believe what God says about your circumstances. We've got to think with a heavenly mindset. Jesus said that we are seated in heavenly places with him. We've got to live from that place of being seated in heavenly places, looking at our circumstances from that place. Matthew 11 verse 12 says, from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. What does that mean? That means we've got to be forceful. We've got to take it by force, that which God has given us. If we sit back and we go, oh, well, like that lady I was talking about, this is, oh, well, God is in control, you know, he's sovereign. We're never going to have what God promised us, because the enemy's just going to come and he's going to take and he's going to take and he's going to take. And then eventually you're going to be angry at God and you're going to blame God. We've got to know who we are. Take it by force. Jesus paid the full price that we would live that life. And it's so sad when people just settle for what their circumstances are. You know, you've got to take it by force, what God's saying in his word, the promises he's given you. Romans 8 says, verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Talking about the mind again. Verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. You know that peace of God which transcends all understanding? When we live according to the Spirit, we set our minds on the truth, on what the Spirit is saying. Your Spirit knows what the Word of God says when you've meditated on the Word. He's going to bring it up. And you're going to live a life of peace when you live according to what the Word says. Verse 7 says, for the mind is that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't want to think like God. It cannot think like God. But rather, it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And it's talking about cannot submit to God's law. Basically, it's talking about it cannot submit to the promises that God has given you. His word. You see, if you are looking at your natural circumstances, you're not going to be able to focus on what God's word says if you don't have enough of his word in you. And God gets so excited when his children begin to believe, when his children have faith in his goodness. Because you know why? It becomes evident that you've had a revelation that God is good and that he's going to come through for you. When you start believing, God gets so excited. The whole of heaven gets excited. I believe heaven gets activated by your faith. Heaven gets so excited when you go, God, you said this in your word, and I'm going to declare it over my circumstances, because you see, you're speaking life now, and the whole of heaven starts rejoicing. And those angels go out on your behalf, and they begin to make that word living and active. They begin to bring a fruit forth in your life. It becomes evident. The goodness of God becomes evident in your life. I'm going to skip this. Okay. Jesus walked on the water. And he could focus on Jesus. Peter walked on the water. And he could focus on Jesus because he had had a revelation of who Jesus is when he was on this earth. Peter walked with Jesus and he had a revelation. Jesus asked him, who am I? And he said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. Peter had a revelation of who Jesus was. And that's why he was able to walk on the water. But now Peter's walking on the water. I don't know anyone that's walked on water before, do you? I mean, that's a mighty big thing to do. Okay, but now Peter's walking on the water, and he hears these crashing waves all around him. And what does he do? He looks and he sees the waves. And what happens? He begins to sink. Fear and disbelief begin to set in. How many of us are affected by the things that we hear on the news, by the doctor's reports, negative talk around us, and we begin to look at the natural circumstances around us like Peter did? And we begin to sink. We begin to lose the battle. We begin to lose the victory when we begin to look at the natural circumstances. We cannot walk like, we've got to walk with a heavenly mindset. When you walk with a heavenly mindset, you're walking from a place of being seated above here. And you can see the circumstances from being seated in heavenly places. You know, when most of us walk from a place of the natural down here, all you can see is what's in front of you. But when you're walking from above, from a place of being seated in heavenly places, and you see the bigger picture of God's plan, and you can see the hurdles from above, and you can see what's beyond those hurdles, you're going to walk in victory. Our minds get in the way. Got to walk with a heavenly perspective. I love the story of the 5,000 that Jesus and the disciples fed. It fascinates me because I don't know how many of us could achieve this, but if you think about it, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he took the baskets, he lifted them up and he thanked for the bread. He blessed the bread and he gave it out to the disciples and he said, there you go, just go give it to them. He never once hesitated and said, wait, let's just check the baskets first. Let's just count if there's enough here. He didn't do that. He didn't check. He thanked him. He thanked God for the baskets of bread and fish, and he gave it out. He never checked. How many of us wanted, like, just let's just check first? We're going to make a fool of ourselves. Why? Because we battle to believe that God is going to come through for us. We battle to believe that God is 100% behind us. The whole of heaven is backing us. We battle with it. We always want to check first so we don't make a fool of ourselves. We're too scared to give a prophetic word because we don't believe that God is going to just lead us. We battle. And then, about 2 months later, the disciples find themselves in exactly the same position. They have to feed 4,000 people. Now, I must remind you that the story with the 5,000 is actually not 5,000 people. That was only the men. So I'm thinking with the women and the children, it's probably about 8,000 people. Now, 2 months later, they've got to feed 4,000, and they can't even muster up the faith to even think of a solution to feed 4,000 people when they fed 8,000 people 2 months before. That's how we are. We forget. How many people see these miracles? They have a miracle in their very own body, and then 2 months down the line, they can't trust God for a headache. I think we all battle with it. We forget to live according to God's mindset. That's the thing. You see, God is going to come through for us. God never dropped. Jesus was never dropped once. Jesus knew the heart of the Father because he said, whatever I do is what my Father does. Whatever I say is what my Father says. He walked in step with the Spirit all the time. He kept his mind set on the Spirit, what the Spirit says. He never looked at the circumstances, the natural circumstances once. So I find that story so fascinating, that how the disciples just doubted. I mean, they said, oh, we can't feed these people. How are we going to do that? They couldn't look at what had just happened and said, well, you know what? God is bigger than this. He's done it 2 months ago. We can feed 4,000. This is easy. Okay. So I want to encourage you to look at the character of God, that he is faithful. Just like Jesus knew the character of God. Jesus did great and mighty things because he knew the heart of God. He never turned anyone away. Okay, I just want to quickly speak on how to live in the goodness of God. How do we achieve the good living in the goodness of God in reality, in a practical way? Firstly, very, very important, on top of the list, I believe, that you cannot live in the goodness of God if you don't have a revelation of the goodness of God. Since coming into a revelation of the goodness of God, I realized that when you believe in the goodness of God, you live in the goodness of God. It's very hard to really live in the goodness of God if you don't have a revelation. Because you see, you're just going to constantly go back to a place of doubt where you're going to second guess God. And you see, what happens is you begin to speak negative of your circumstances when you don't really believe. So if you don't have a revelation of the goodness of God, like I said, go and look at the examples of what he says in his word. Go look at the promises in his word. Go look at his character in his word so you can start getting a revelation. And ask God to give you a revelation. He'll put a spirit of revelation on you and he'll begin to reveal things to you that you've never seen. You'll be able to see God in a way you've never seen him before. The other thing is to start declaring from that place of revelation. Start declaring what God has said to your circumstances. We reap a harvest of what we say. And my favorite thing, I've always loved doing this, is when I'm in a situation, I'm trusting God for something, I love to take the word and type it out in big scriptures. Janet knows, I've done it on the office wall. I love doing this. Putting big scriptures on the wall and looking at those words and reminding myself and reminding myself and reminding myself, this is what God's word says. This is God's promise to me. This is God's promise to me in this situation. And there have been times where I've had to literally take my flesh and go, flesh, we are going to look at what God's word says about this situation, and I'm not listening to you anymore. This is what God's word says. And you see, what happens is you start to think naturally in that way. Because you see, you can't help but think differently when you know the truth. So yeah, I want to say, choose this day, life or death. What are you going to choose? I choose to believe the reports of the Lord. I choose life. So you choose. I only want to live out, you know, we say, Jesus, that let the full price that you paid be so worth it in my life. When you look at my life, I would love you to be so excited. And you'd best be able to look at my life and go, woohoo, I paid paid the price and it was so worth it. Look at my daughter. She's living it out. She's living out the dream of the Father. It was so worth it. You see, I want him to be, you know, not that I want to earn his you know, I know I don't have to earn his approval or anything, but it must be so worth it for him. You know, and that's the thing. So I think so many times he looks at us and he looks at our lives and he goes, but my child, I paid the full price for you. Why are you settling for that? My child, I paid the full price for you. Come on, take my word by force. Come on, hold me to my word. Then the other step is to take those thoughts captive and make them dwell only on the one and only truth that exists. There's only one truth that exists. That's God's word. Take those thoughts captive. Our minds get in the way all the time. The enemy wants us to believe that God is not faithful. The enemy wants us to believe that God is not good. The enemy wants us to believe that his word doesn't work. He's going to put the situation in your face over and over again until you win that test by going, oh, please, man, that doesn't work. That's not true. God's word says this. Your lie doesn't work anymore. It's just a lie from the pits of hell. That's not the truth. The truth is Jesus paid the full price. The truth is Jesus, by his stripes, I was healed. The truth is out of his abundance, I will live from a place of overflow. So take those thoughts captive and make them obedient. James 1 verse 7 to 8 says, let him who asks, ask in faith. Without doubting. A man who doubts is like a wave tossed in the sea. For such a man will not receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, and a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And you know, I struggled with this scripture. I don't know how many of you struggle with this, but I used to, being a person who gets so excited about the truth, I would say, okay, this is what's going to happen. God's going to do this for me, and God, you're going to do that for me, and this is what your word says, and I'm going to declare your word, and I'd declare the word, and then I'd have these negative thoughts when I looked at the circumstances. And I'd be like, oh gosh, now I've gone and undone it all over again. I have to start again. I have to build up my faith again, and I have to, because it says that a double-minded man will not receive anything. So every time I'd start doubting, I think, oh, now I've canceled it out again. So eventually I said, like, Lord, how am I supposed to ever not doubt? I mean, how am I supposed to ever receive my breakthrough if I keep on getting doubts all the time? I keep on doubting. I'm never going to receive my breakthrough because it's almost impossible to not doubt. And then I realized, the Lord said, it's not that that's the problem. It's when you come into agreement with those thoughts that the enemy's putting in your mind that's the problem. The doubt is when you're agreeing with the thoughts. It's not the thoughts are going to come. You're going to have thoughts because the enemy's going to always put a thought there. When you come into agreement with it, that's when you start losing the battle. That's the kind of person that is not going to receive. Because you see, you're going to never ever receive if you're going to doubt and agree with that and begin to speak death over your circumstances. Because when you come into agreement with the doubt, with that thought, you're going to speak negative and you're not going to reap a harvest. You're only going to receive a negative harvest. Okay, so the last thing is to declare those things that are applicable to what is needed to for your breakthrough. So what is your situation? Do you need healing? What does God's word say about your situation if you need healing? By his stripes you are healed. These veins have the blood of Christ in them. Speak to your body and go, body, the blood of Christ runs through these veins. I am a new creation. Sickness, you do not belong to this body. Sickness, you have to go because Jesus paid the full price. By his stripes, you've been healed at the cross. So sickness, you better go. What does it say about your finances? Are you struggling financially? Jesus paid the full price that you would live a life of abundance in every area of your life. He says, my children will lack no good thing. He says, I will take care of your needs according to my riches and glory. And there's a whole lot of glory. There's a whole lot of glory. So tell your bank account, listen, do you hear that? God's word says it's going to take care of all my needs according to his riches in glory. And you hear that bank account? There's a whole lot of glory. Purse, there's a whole lot of glory. Woo! Jesus paid the full price that I would live a life of abundance. What is your situation? Your relationships? Your marriage? Your relationship with your children? Jesus said that he paid the price they would live a life abundance in every area. In every area. That means having a blessed life in your relationships. He says he'll restore what the locusts have eaten. So you tell that situation. You tell that circumstance. You tell that marriage. God is going to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. He said he will bring to completion the work that he's begun. If he's put you together or he's begun a relationship between the two of you, he's going to bring healing and he's going to bring it to completion. Speak to your circumstances. Speak to your future, your goals and your dreams, and say, you know what? God has said that he will do exceedingly abundantly over and above all that I could ever ask or imagine. So dreams, goals, God is going to do exceedingly abundantly all that I could ever ask or imagine. Watch this space. Woohoo! You know, this is the thing. We've got to speak to our circumstances. Yeah, I think that's it. I don't want to go on too long because we're quite late already. And I want to invite you to get into a place. We're going to have a bit of worship on now. And I want to invite you to come into an encounter and meet him face to face. And if you're battling to see that God is good, I want to invite you to come to the front and get into that place where you can meet him face to face. He wants to reveal himself to you. If you need refreshing tonight, you feeling weary in your faith, or even you just want to have an encounter with him, come to the front or go lie on the back there, whatever you want to do. We're going to have a bit of worship.